DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And it's the EU section, EU Days, the European Union Awareness and Memorial Days. It's the 9th of August, and this day shall be a day to be focused on European Belarus. This is the day where in 2020 the decisive elections took place, the watershed moment for a free European Belarus, and obviously, unfortunately, Mr. Lukashenko, the president, since 1994, he has rigged that election, and he was rigging it from the beginning. It was never planned to be a free and fair election. He has banned all the opposition candidates. Just, you know, he has overseen that maybe one wife of one opposition leader might also run. And in his kind of masculine, communist kind of dictatorship, macho world, and this was not a challenger to be taken seriously, and he fully underestimated his competition. Similar like in Russia, and the parallels between Belarus and Russia are very, very similar. I will talk about it. It's always like this. The method is to somehow keep the pretense of a democracy. So to have some opposition was seen useful. And as also President Putin famously allows some irrelevant kind of opposition, Mr. Lukashenko thought it wisely, it is rather quite unknown, just the wife of an opposition leader, he can allow her to run in order to smooth somehow the rigged election over, to give it a kind of pretense of legitimacy. But what happened? It turned out that the people of Belarus really hate Mr. Lukashenko. Only his kind of clientele or his clique, which keeps him in power, the security apparatus and some of the employees of state companies are still voting for him. But the overwhelming majority has voted for the opposition. But obviously that could not be allowed to be the official result. And so this kind of corrupt but still working state apparatus has rigged in an unprecedented way the presidential election of 2020. And so much and so clearly, and that it was so clearly also documented by the protest of the people, which have since then, since the 9th of August, started to protest widely and under very complicated conditions. Because in a controlled state, in a state which is a police state in many aspects, yeah, it is very difficult to risk your future career, your university place, your business opportunities, your standing in the society, and to go out and protest against the government. And Belarus is such a state, and it is such a state, one of the worst in Europe, where this risk can have lethal consequences. And it had. Several of the protesters since August are already dead. They have not seen the light of 2021 because the security services have either accidentally or on purpose killed them in the process. And that's the risk people take on them when they go out and protest against such a rigged election. But that this is rigged elections. Have no doubt in your heart. It's absolutely that Mrs. Tikhanovskaya has won these elections. And she sure has deserved European support so much. But unfortunately, as we always do in Europe, mostly in Germany, Austria, and in Western Europe, and the Eastern Europeans have understood the nature of Russian autocracy much clearer and better. But we in our elites are always bent for appeasement. And also Mr. Lukashenko is already a well-known figure with many of the European leaders. He is the longest around. He is even longer around than Putin himself. He was already manipulating and rigging the elections in 94. They are now, some people say it was the only free and fair election in the history of Belarus. But please, yeah, obviously he has started to manipulate the situation already back then. He is to be compared in the Russian historical situation very much with people around Rutskoy, the parliament president, which was challenging already Yeltsin and the democracy and wanted to return to a Soviet style of system in 93. In Russia, the situation was won militarily, ultimately, by Yeltsin and his democratic Russia team and the coalition he could assemble. But in Belarus, already, it was lost, and the classical red director, the systemic nomenklatura guy, Lukashenko, he faked with compromat the evidence. He claimed there's corruption. That's a very wide thing to say. And then Shushkevich, the president, he was dismissed and he was discredited. And since then, since these events in 93, parallel to the storming of the White House and the parliament in Moscow, and basically Lukashenko has already taken power and never had given up ever since. And you can be 100% sure that he will not roll over. He will not resign, retire, and live like his successor, his predecessor, Shushkevich, the real father of modern Belarus. He lives on a minimal pension below the social subsistence, even for Belarus, which is a very poor country. He lives on that one, and Lukashenko definitely has not the intention to go down into retirement, similar like the gentleman he has pushed out of power. And so he won't. And it's an illusion if we think that he will. And the idea that Putin sends him to retirement or that he will run away to Russia like Yanukovych, no. He will stay and he will fight on. And here's the problem I have with the European response to this. Because now we have a president with legitimacy. She had to flee from Belarus because of the violence and the threats against herself and her family. And she is now, Mrs. Tikhanovskaya, is traveling everywhere, and we somehow, our policy elite, our European leaders, recognize her as, you know, that's a bit unclear as what we recognize her. And instead of really, you know, giving full diplomatic recognition, allowing her to build a government in exile, funding this government in exile, possible in Poland, possible in Lithuania, possible in Brussels, and really allow her the resources and the legitimacy and the recognition to build a parallel alternative European Belarus to this kind of persiflage of a state, this kind of Soviet system which Lukashenko has built with the backing of Russia. Instead of doing that, we somehow do nothing. We welcome her. You know, she is allowed to travel. She is allowed some legitimacy and recognition in the terms that that the Western leaders meet her. And she is some kind of honorary. Everybody wants to be seen with her because she represents this wonderful, beautiful resistance movement against dictatorship of the Belarusian opposition, which is prestigious to be. But nobody gives her tangible results. And, you know, this is not very nice of us. You know, these are people who risk their lives. These are people who are under the threat of a dictatorship. These are people who, for example, her husband. And let me also that story, because it's quite interesting. Her husband is kind of the Belarusian version of Mr. Navalny. He is a YouTube blogger, a person who criticized things, and he wanted to run, actually, as one of the candidates. And he is now in prison. And he's in prison since May. That's also the story why she ran. And so, basically, he is a hostage. He's a political hostage of the system. And what we do about it? Who knows his name? Who in Europe makes sanctions because of Lukashenko having rigged the elections already in the beginning, as they always do it? And they block candidates to run on some flimsy kind of legal charges. And then the field of candidates is already so weak. You remember, I told the story already about Nemtsov not being allowed to run, and then you had just to run this kind of Zhirinovskis and Zhuganovs, yeah, and some other lesser figures. And then obviously the field looks clearly set for the winner. And the winner is, in the case of Lukashenko's Belarus, already for the sixth time, after totally rigged and fake elections, it's of course the winner which was meant to be, Mr. Lukashenko. And if we continue our failed policy towards Belarus, which we have since 94, this kind of ignoring, appeasing, kind of vacillating, not really knowing what to do, and from time to time when we are angry with Russia, then we start to invite Lukashenko because he looks as a better alternative, and then he makes some nice statements, and okay, good. Yeah. Then suddenly all the red carpets roll, as in Austria they rolled very often for Mr. Lukashenko. And then he gets some investment from the Austrian Telecom and the Austrian banks, and then all these things happen. And in reality, he just does his kind of Soviet-style dictatorship up there. And of course, in a kind of 2020 version, it's no longer the Stalin times. It's no longer the Brezhnev times. But the system ultimately is rigged against the population. It's a small elite of nomenklatura who exploits all the opportunities of the nation for their benefit and withholds all rights from the vast majority of the people, claiming to be defending against the West or some kind of basis like this. And we somehow are complicit, and we are supporting this by recognizing, by continuing to recognize, even when we say that the election is not free and fair and we don't recognize the result, then the EU and the European powers say, yes, you have to do a new election. Yes, yeah. And then who decides who will run for this election, who will vote in that election, who will have media access in that election? Even when that election will be maybe granted, you can be sure that Lukashenko will be the candidate, and he will make sure that the conditions are absolutely sure for his re-election. Otherwise, he will not even consider to do it. And what we do then? We then welcome him back again after all the things he did the last half a year, and all the admirations we had for the women of Belarus. And tomorrow, I record it now on the 7th of March, and tomorrow is the 8th of March, and it is the moment when there will be the International Women's Day. And there will be a lot of statements about the courageous women of Belarus, and they are very courageous. But we are not very courageous. It doesn't depend on men or women. Our European politicians, mostly with some exemption from Poland and Lithuania and the Baltic countries, are just friendly in the face, but when she's out of the door, we don't care anymore for her destiny and the destiny of the Belarusians, thinking that anyhow it's Russia's duty to take care. And then we make some nice statements of solidarity, protest. We put some people under sanctions who anyhow probably have never had the intention to travel to the European Union. And if they will now continue then to travel, whatever, to other countries where they also can access the sea, and they will be not affected by these sanctions. And what we really should do is basically forbid all the imports from Belarusian state companies. We are not ready for such a step. What we should really do is to recognize the president of Belarus, Mrs. Tsikhanouskaya, fully, and without any reservation, to give her the resources to build up a government of exile and recognize that one as well, and basically make all the Belarusians an offer to come to the European Union. And so the basic parameter for having as many Belarusians in the freedom of the European Union and leaving basically for now this illegitimate kind of president Lukashenko of the land. And that's about it. And that is the much better strategy. He can have the land. The people will, by time, certainly come to the European Union. We are much more attractive. People can live and work in Poland and Lithuania or elsewhere in the European Union. And then let's make the vote by defeat. Let's do it like in Eastern German case. Let's see if they really will build a wall and block all the people inside. Let's see what is the choice of the people. I think there is no other way than that. But for this, there must be a real kind of legal framework offered by the European Union and by NATO. That means a president elected and recognized, a government recognized, and also then they offer opportunity that all Belarusians can travel if they are not working for the regime, if they are not having committed any criminal acts against the opposition, and then against the protesters. Then they are allowed to come to the European Union and to live and work legally inside the European Union. And then we simply build a parallel, a European Belarus, headed by a new and amazing president. And then we can do another election of all free Belarusians who live in the European Union to vote, and we make a parallel kind of European Belarus. And Mr. Lukashenko, as a kind of illegitimate president, he can have the land, and the people will be with us. Look, I know it's difficult, but it's absolutely doable. We had many of these exile governments in London during World War II, and we are in a kind of a war with Russia and with Lukashenko's Belarus. You know, it's not, you cannot call it differently, because it would be a lie. We are in a confrontation which has not escalated into a hot war, but it's this kind of second Cold War we are in. And there is no kind of alternative of neutral Belarus anymore. This was maybe in the past possible, not very good, but you know, it was possible. But now, and after all the blood that was spilled by Lukashenko, all the people he has beaten up, all the people he has put in prison, shall we return to a kind of acceptance of him as a European statesman? I don't think so that's possible. Too much things have happened in the last half of a year, and too much courageous people we would betray with that. And you know, there is an option for him to leave to Russia. That's always possible. The Russians have a big place already for Yanukovych, Lukashenko, Milosevic and their families. Yeah. All this kind of European strongmen and dictators ultimately end up in Russia, a country where all lawless and criminals have seemingly the protection of the state authorities, yeah, if they are too important enough. And so that's the situation the Russian media and the Russian public has to live with. But in Belarus, in European Belarus, certainly there is no compromise with Lukashenko possible. So, he's the Rutskoy. I would say it like this. Yeah, this was the absolutely the best comparison. Yes, think about the brave women of Belarus and all the heroism, and also think about all the things we don't do for them. Because unfortunately, we do very little for them in real terms, and they have to seemingly fight their fight and struggle alone. They are continuing to need a visa for Schengen, and they have no work permits to the European Union, but maybe in Lithuania and in Poland they are a little bit more open. We don't a little, but welcoming and making photos for the democratic leader of democratic European Belarus. We always say, and that's even the worst thing actually, let me close with that now, but I'm getting too it's really annoying, because we are congratulating the Belarusians protest movement that they don't wave with European or NATO flags. I mean, so weak we are already that Europeans who are not having our flags at protests, we say, these are very smart Europeans. They don't wave this provocation flag, the European flag. I mean, we have such leaders today which think, that's very wisely, because you don't provoke Russia, so stay in the kind of Russian world and just don't provoke Putin. Yeah, that's very good policy. Mm-hmm. Yes, such leaders we have. This quality of courage we have today. We really would need Ronald Reagan, who says, please open this gate. Yeah? A kind of George Bush, who was really integrating countries into NATO, offering it to Ukraine and Georgia as well. But at the moment, unfortunately, we are led by people who are very happy that the Belarusians are so wise not to wave European flags. I mean, seriously, ask the Belarusians, do you want to live on European way, on European rights, European possibilities, European integration? Or do you want Russian integration, Russian rights and Russian way of life? I'm sure the Belarusians, once they know and understand what is the difference, and they have the opinion or possibility to express their desires freely. And so you have seen it already. Now today, so many people protest against the Lukashenko regime. Do you think that the people wouldn't endeavor also to live like the Lithuanians or the Ukrainians? I'm confident they want freedom and they want rights and they want not to live in prison cells and under the thumb of a dictator. And unfortunately, our policy the last 25 years towards more complicated countries was one of arrangement with the dictator to be, and one hoping for the long-term future something changes, leaving opposition and democratic forces in these countries always more or less without any support. And it's actually very contrary than Mr. Lukashenko is, and Putin is always claiming that the West would do so much against them in the opposition. In reality, we do almost nothing. We give them like the fodder for the lions. And the courageous people stand up in the streets and do something and protest. And we do almost nothing to help them. And also now, we have done almost nothing. Minimal sanctions against some minor state officials. You know, no kind of real tangible support for the opposition. Even not excluding Belarus from Eastern Partnership. And so on and so on. There's many things we could do, but we are not doing them. Because ultimately, we think it's far away, and it's only the Russian world. Belarus is the difference between Austria and Germany, you know, between Belarus and Russia. And, you know, there's even people, you know, they are so careless negotiating, thinking, okay, maybe they are anyhow the same. So I don't care. Yeah? And this is the level of thinking we have in the European Union 2021. And that, I think, is really bad. And it's the result is then that all these arguments and the communication power of Putin wins also, and this will be the case as well in Belarus. I'm quite pessimistic about the medium-term prospect. If we don't get our act together, then these poor people who risk their life and have the whole now half a year plus the winter been protesting, they will be somehow losing the power, the economic basis, the support. Yeah? And then also by time, even if they have the will, they will lose the means to sustain a prolonged campaign for democracy in Belarus. And we are to blame. It's the European Union states elite which is to blame for such a weak policy. And it's really annoying. And it's really, I'm really deeply offended. And tomorrow you will see on the 8th of March, there will be so many people, oh yes, we meet with this powerful lady from Belarus, and they will tweet their photos and say, ah, fantastic, and they should be nominated for the Nobel Prize for Peace. Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And on the 9th of March, we will then again go over to business and usual, as usual, and forget them. And that's very sad. So, let's support the Belarusian opposition. Let's basically call it from now the Belarusian president-elect, and also recognize as the president in exile of free European Belarus, and provide the resources to make it possible that she can sustain a decade-long fight for freedom, because this is will maybe what it take, half a decade, but this is not going to be won tomorrow against Lukashenko and Putin. They will fall together. They will fall, but it will maybe take 5 or 10 years. And we need to make sure that the opposition now, the alternative government, the government in exile, as I would call, has the resources and has the support and has the legitimacy and has the recognition to sustain a decade-long struggle. And if it will be not a decade, I'm the most happy person in the world. Yeah, if it is only 2 years or 4 years or 5 years, but that we have a democratic breakthrough, new elections, and President Tsikhanouskaya in Belarus tomorrow or in 2021, I don't think so. And if you have any argument to explain me why that should be, I would be happy to learn. But in reality, we have to work in the medium long term in this very complicated conflicts in Belarus, also in Armenia, also in Crimea, also in Donbass. They will not be won over time, over the short time. It's not the 2021 progress visible. In reality, this will be a decade-long struggle. And for this, we have to prepare and we have to support our friends, give them the opportunities and the gold standing and the resources to be legitimate and successful. This is what I think is the way. Okay. Thanks a lot for listening. And for European Belarus, it will be. But it will take some time. And thanks and congratulations for the courage for all who fight for freedom, no doubt. And my critical point to all who do nothing to support them, as unfortunately we do very little. Thanks a lot for listening.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.